Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, upon the action of fasting, given numerous and unique and brilliant rewards. Allah ta'ala has stated that the action of fasting is such an action, the reward for this, Allah ta'ala says, I will give myself. So this is such a big reward that Allah ta'ala Himself will give the reward. This is a hadith in Bukhari. And Allah's status is what? Allah can give everything and anything He wants. And if Allah Himself is saying that I will give myself the reward for this, Allah Ta'ala shan, His Rahim, His mercy and Kareem, His grace is so massive that He can give, and He does give us everything that we need. What a great reward for the fasting person. And in another hadith, the reward for fasting has been stated that in the Akhirah, in Jannah, in Paradise, the people who fasted, for them will be a unique special door. It has already been established, which is called Rayhan, the name of that door. The name has already been told to us, foretold. And that door, through that door, the fasting people who fasted will enter and pass through. And when all the fasting people who fasted will pass through that door, will have passed through that door, then that door will be shut forever. So purely and purely, solely, that door is for the fasting people, that only they can pass through that door, those who fasted for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Abu Umama radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, was a sahabi, a companion. He said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you please tell me such an action that if I implement it, I will go straight into paradise? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Abu Umama, if this is your desire, then keep the fast and you will go directly into paradise. So we realize that fasting is such an action, alhamdulillah, that it directly takes a person into paradise. Is this not a cheap bargain? Is this not an easy transaction? What have we done from morning till now? What big rewards Allah is giving to us on the action of fasting. Another hadith, that the fast will do something in the hereafter. The fast itself will do something. What will it do? The fast will not let the person who fasted go into hellfire, subhanallah. Rather, it will become a protection. It will become a record, a seal, that no person who fasted will go into Jahannam. Massive guarantee. And fasting will save us from Jahannam. Will not let us go in. Allah has given power, strength to the action of fasting. Big reward. Big reward. Allah Ta'ala has kept a big reward in this action of fasting. There are many other rewards. So we see here, how great a reward Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah Ta'ala says that, is there something, any other action that gives this reward? Allah Ta'ala says that if you fast, the reward starts from 10 and multiplies up to 700. Surah Salah, we pray the same action, the same verses, etc. The same Quran, the same Tasbihat, and the same Amal, Tahajjud or Nafil or voluntary prayer. But where's the thawab going? It's the same action. But in the month of Ramadan, imagine the reward. And when Ramadan passes by and we see afterwards that we will then become poor. So now in Ramadan, it's a massive bargain, free of charge bargain, cheap transaction. Allah says from 10 to 700 times the reward multiplies during Ramadan. So don't we feel enjoyment when we hear this? If I say to someone, look, what you do is that take this shop, take this business and watch until tomorrow, you'll see you'll become 100,000 the value. And then your eyes will open suddenly. But we don't understand that Allah Ta'ala will give up to 700 times reward. Is this a minor thing that you're praying salah? And the thawab you get, where's the thawab going? To which height? Tell me. 700 times multiplied. 700 times. Due to the barakah of fasting. So if we see now the result of fasting, Allah Ta'ala says, this is my kamal. This is my reward that I give to you. And Allah Ta'ala says, don't fall into this trap. Don't think that things will just stay the same. That this thawab you are getting, all of these rewards you're getting, there's a lot of reward for fasting. Allah Ta'ala says, don't think you're getting this reward because you didn't eat or drink anything. Go to the hospitals. There are many people who are lying down there. For years they have not eaten anything. They don't know what is salt or what is spice. They don't know. They're not allowed to taste it. Even the patient does this. Today, if your doctor says to you that you have to stop consuming sugar, will you take sugar? No, never. If he says that stop taking salt, you will not go close to salt. All pakoras and salty foods, because you can't make pakoras from sugar, can you? No. End of the day. End of story. So this is not a big achievement, Allah Ta'ala says, that you stay hungry and thirsty during the fast and you've not eaten or drank anything from morning till evening and you've achieved a massive achievement and you'll get big reward and thawab. The reward is not hinging on this hunger and thirst. The reason is something else. The fast is telling us this itself. So we need to think about this. The fast says that think, have thinking, contemplate and understand from me that why do I give reward to this massive scale? This much. Why, if you fast, due to the action of fasting, you get such a massive reward. Allah Ta'ala says, why did I prepare this month of Ramadan? So fasting is asking, why has Allah Ta'ala given all of His mercies to you, His blessings to you, and He's prepared this month and the reward? There's a reason for this, says the fast itself. That within me, Allah Ta'ala has kept such an ibadah, that it is the ruh of all ibadah. The ruh. The soul. Rather, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to this main factor, said that the best thing is this factor, this point, which is inherent within the action of fasting, which we have got today. It is the most important factor, said the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is this factor. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the greatest gift and reward that Allah Ta'ala gives to a human being is this same factor that is inherent within the action of fasting, due to which the person who's fasting gets reward. So what is this factor? We don't get this thawab due to dhikr or Quran or tahajjud or hunger or poverty. No, it's due to this ibadah. Allah Ta'ala has given us this factor, this point, with and it's inherent within the action of fasting. So what is this point? What is the factor? After 30 days of practicing, this person earns so much that there's no limit to how much he has earned. If he earns in 30 days, so if 80 years we do this ibadah, then imagine where we will get to. What heights we will get to. So the fast is telling us this. Fast, the action of fast is discussing with us. Is don't think that this is all a drama. You're hungry, thirsty, tired, exhausted. This is not why you get reward. Understand the fast is telling us that within me, what action are you implementing that you will get reward? And I cannot see reward in any other action compared to this one. That's why he's saying, I am the fast and I will deliver you the massive rewards. So it's the best factor within the action of fasting, the highest reward. The highest level. Rather, the reality is that in general, we cannot enter into paradise without this factor. We cannot. And we cannot get benefit of Iman without this factor. We cannot get benefit of Islam without this factor. Rather, without this factor, even if a person takes Iman and Islam, it will be rubbed into the dust, because there's no worth to it if we don't have this factor. So everything hinges on this factor. So what is this factor that I'm talking about? That's inherent within fasting, which gives us this massive reward. So one is Iman. Yeah, we have Iman. One is Islam. But this is greater than the two. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So what is this factor? Iman. We have Islam. And after that comes what? Yaqeen. Yaqeen. Yeah. Say Subhanallah again. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Praise be to Allah. So yaqeen will give person success. What gives us Jannah? What will give us paradise? What will give us the heights of rewards? Yaqeen. Yaqeen. So what is Iman? Let's understand this point of yaqeen. Certainty, belief, strength in belief. So Iman is to have aqeedah in the heart. That's step number one, isn't it? I believe in Allah. I believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I believe in death. I believe in the life after death. I believe in the akhirah, the hereafter. I believe in life after death and that we will come back to life. I believe in paradise. I believe in hellfire. You have aqeedah, isn't it, in the heart. So when aqeedah comes into the heart, so what does this make a person? A mu'min or a believer, because he's got iman. So if you have aqeedah, belief, the principal tenets of belief, then you have iman. And then if verbally from your tongue you repeat this, then Islam comes into your life, isn't it? You have aqeedah in your heart, you affirm that with your tongue, then Islam is coming to your life. And you become a Muslim. Then the next step is what? When you have iman, and when you have Islam, and then on top of these two things you have amal, that is due to yaqeen, that is due to your certainty, your belief. So yaqeen will make a person practice. If I don't have yaqeen, then my iman that I've got, iman that I've declared to say that I believe, but then there is no amal. If I have no, so what will make me practice amal on my iman in Islam? What will make me do amal? Yaqeen will make me do amal. Yaqeen. So if I don't have yaqeen, there's no amal. And if there's no amal, then iman is a waste and Islam is a waste. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Allah Ta'ala says, after bringing about iman, you have to do عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, which goes hand in hand with yaqeen, certainty. So it's yaqeen, belief, certainty, conviction that saves us from hellfire, takes us to paradise, and gives us the ma'rif of Allah, the nearness of Allah increases, the darajat increases, the levels, and will give levels in paradise, and will save from the hellfire. It's yaqeen that saves, yaqeen. So the iman that I have, the aqeedah, the belief that I have, how much yaqeen do I have on this? Practically will demonstrate. If my aqeedah is that, if I say I have iman, I believe in Allah, and I have aqeedah, then yaqeen, it should show, demonstrate that I do amal on my belief. Isn't it? I should practice on my belief. Isn't this the case? So I say I believe in Allah. Or what do I do after that? I don't even demonstrate the iman that I've got. That even that person who doesn't have iman, and I have iman, and I say I believe in Allah, but I don't practice my iman. Allah Ta'ala says, what sort of iman do you have? How have you brought iman upon me? In which way have you brought iman upon me? Allah Ta'ala says that you've brought iman upon me. You say you believe in me. You have belief in me. So a person says, I have iman on all of the prophets. And especially, the final prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have iman on him. Who is our Nabi and we are in his ummah. Is there anyone who says that I don't have iman on the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Everyone says, whoever's a Muslim. Don't we? We all say that we have iman. So we bring about iman on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But naql, is this iman? This is a big contrast. It's a big contrast. So this means that we don't have yaqeen on Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We say, but we don't have the yaqeen. We don't have that. We've declared it, but we don't have the yaqeen. And the person who has yaqeen, most definitely his ma'amala, his situation will be, his actions will be a reflection on he is a man. And if Allah Ta'ala says that don't consume haram, I say I have yaqeen Allah, I believe in you. And then when comes the day for practical demonstration, we consume the most haram. Yes, we break Allah Ta'ala's hukam more than anyone else. We disobey Allah Ta'ala the most. So what is it that we don't have? We don't have yaqeen. We don't have the certainty. We don't have the depth of belief. We don't have yaqeen. This is the fact. So if we don't have yaqeen, then our life is a waste. The human being's life is a waste. And if yaqeen is brought about in the heart of a person, and if yaqeen comes about properly, then tell me how our life will become. Think about it yourself. Because every second Allah Ta'ala's guidance comes, Allah Ta'ala's hukum comes, that is there anything in our life which is against the hukum of Allah? Is there any desire that is there that we should not listen to? That if Allah Ta'ala has given us an order and have yaqeen that this is my Rabb, this is my Lord, he is the Qadir, he is the one who gives, everything is in Allah Ta'ala's control. We say this so easily, big words come out of our mouths. The more words you want to bring out, the whole Quran we will recite. That in one night we will read the whole Quran, all the juz. We know how to do all these things, but when the Quran says, whatever you have read, do you have yaqeen on this? Physically demonstrate this to me. In the hadith it is stated that the greatest shifa intercession, who will intercede most? Two things. Two things will give shifa. One will be what? The fast, and second will be the Quran. These two things will intercede for the believer. And what's the reason for this? Because both have explained that action of fasting, fasting has been given to us, it's been decorated with the same ibadah. The more yaqeen, the amount of yaqeen that is contained within fasting is not in any other action. We have to understand this point. So we think that we're getting thawab due to hunger and thirst. Allah is saying, no, this is not the reason. The reason you're getting reward for fasting is that for a few days you've carried out this drama, or you've carried out this action, you have iman in your heart, and you've put yaqeen in Allah. Say subhanAllah. For a few moments or hours or days from morning till evening, you've put yaqeen and belief and certainty into Allah. When Allah says don't eat, then you've not eaten. Allah Ta'ala says don't drink, you have not drank. Allah Ta'ala said that don't do anything which is haram, so you've not done anything haram. Allah says don't lie, so you've not lied. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala said to you that this is the ibadah I'm going to be fasting, says that Allah Ta'ala has decorated me in a such a way that as soon as you accepted me and kept the fast, then the qualities came into your life. You started to have yaqeen and belief and certainty in Allah. The certainty came into your life. And when Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you yaqeen, and fast says, the fasting action says that when I gave you the ability to have yaqeen in Allah, then your qualities improved, the safat improved. Allah Ta'ala says, he's become such a human being now, valuable human being. Allah Ta'ala says, I will give you the reward myself. That until yesterday, nobody would ask you about you. You used to run around here, you were running towards hellfire, running after your desires like a dog. But after some hours, when you had yaqeen in Allah, certainty in Allah, that Allah is the Malik, He is the Khalik, He gives the health, He gives the wealth, He gives the belief and amal, and practically you accepted Allah Ta'ala's order. Allah said, beware, don't eat during these hours. So now I explain, Allah says, what is yaqeen? Fasting will explain to us what is yaqeen. We think we are very capable. A few days ago there was a girl, 6 or 7 years old, and she kept the fast. MashaAllah, she said, I want to keep the fast. To her parents. Mother and father said, you're too young, you're 6 years old. How will you fast? She said, no, I want to keep the fast. And she started to persist. And she had the pre-dawn meal, suhoor, pakoras, and other food. And she read the dua, made the intention. The mother and father said, how will you keep the fast for this long? Where will you eat and drink? They said, oh, no, she'll eat during the day. She's just talking nonsense. She's not going to fast. She's just passionate. And let's see how far she goes. We'll just go back. We'll send her to the kitchen and she'll go and eat something. And then in the evening we'll say, oh, she's kept a fast. She's kept a fast. We'll pretend. It's just for 2-3 days and she'll realize that it's difficult. So what happened then? But the fast says, I am the action of fast. I came for this reason. For 30 days Allah Ta'ala did allow me to descend to the earth. That tell you, oh human beings, that you are foolish, wasting your time in the life like animals. You have become like animals. You're running after your desires. You're wasting your time, your lives, your resources. Develop yaqeen in Allah. Fasting says, develop yaqeen in Allah. Fasting is saying this, that I've come into the child's desires. The fast says, and look at the yaqeen of the child now. That until the evening, that girl did not eat anything. She was lying down. She was exhausted. She was tired. There was fatigue. And she was hardly conscious. The mother saying to her, the father saying to her, eat, drink something. She said, no. They said, okay, leave her. Let's go upstairs or go somewhere else and make some good food. Let's make some chips. And you know, the smell comes due to the chips that are frying. It spreads, isn't it? The smell. And then they made the food and they went. But she didn't go to the kitchen. She didn't even go that way, in that direction. She didn't want to know. She was not interested in what is being cooked. Eventually, evening came, iftari time came. They said, what do you like? She said, I like burger, the cheeseburger. MashaAllah. She said, I'll eat that, subhanAllah. So that's what I will eat to break the fast. Why, brothers? Why didn't she eat? Why did she not want to drink? And she's not even mature. She's young. She's below the age. She knew that my Rabb, even if I eat on my own, Allah will know. And this is the meaning of fasting. She said that if I eat, Allah is watching me, and this is the highest rank of servanthood. If this quality comes into person, I swear by Allah that my Rabb is watching me. Subhanallah. That person will become the most mumtaz person in the world. Highest grade personality. He won't be a sahabi, but that insan, that individual can reach to the heights of the sahaba. All of the sahaba had this one unique quality. Alongside the iman, the biggest quality and attribute, the characteristic they had was they had yaqeen. Their yaqeen was the strongest. Nobody could compare such great belief and certainty in Allah. So high was their maqam status in the dunya, that if, for example, khairat, good things were distributed to around just one fistful, then it's more than a mountain worth of khairat and goods that they distributed. My brothers, we need to look into our lives. How many Ramadans have passed? How many fasts have we kept? And us, if we get a little bit of a test, we start to urinate, we start to tremble and shake and get scared. Oh, no, it's too hard for me. What can I do? It's difficult. Oh, let's do amal here on the sunnah. How can I do amal on the sunnah? I have to bring my kids up, and how am I going to pay off my debts and pay the bills? And you're telling me to leave haram? We have no Rabb. We have no Rabb, we have no link with the Lord. La ilaha illallah, that's all we do. That's it. We have no conviction, belief that we have filled the treasure chest of the stomach with haram. We have disobeyed all the orders of Allah. Our masjids that are empty, the same masjid that is empty is like wilderness. Nobody comes to pray salah, nothing happens here. Why? Why? And we look around the whole of the Alam Islam, the world of Islam, we see the same conclusion. That if a person has yaqeen in Allah, certainty in Allah, just this much yaqeen that Allah is watching me. Allah is watching me, and always Allah is with me. Allah Ta'ala is with me, He is watching me. He is looking at me. This is what we need to know, that Allah Ta'ala is so close to me, so close to me, He is watching me. And Allah is close to us. He is close to us. My brothers, we are blind to this fact that the angels that are sitting around us, who are recording everything, their pens are moving, we cannot even see them. Leave the angels in our house, in our homes, we cannot even do musafa with the jinnat. That we let them come to sleep with us and we call them into our homes, we're eating with them. We cannot even see them due to our bad actions. That if somebody, for example, we see who is good, or if somebody starts to control a jinn, we say, oh, he's a wali of Allah, he's controlling jinns, he's seen a jinn, he's a wali of Allah, he's an exorcist, and anyone who's possessed, he solves their problems, he's a wali of Allah, he's a special person, he's a magician. And this is how we speak and we look at those people. So my brothers, this is the point that we have to understand, that Allah Ta'ala has put everything behind the veil, is in the ghaib. Why? Because this is the place. This is the place, this is the game. And this is the game. And what does it all hinge on? Allah Ta'ala says, I've hidden everything. So you'll have to have yaqeen on all of these points I'm mentioning. You cannot see Jannah, have yaqeen in me. You cannot see hellfire, but have belief in me. You should have so much yaqeen in hellfire that if I've told you that these actions will take you to hellfire, you will not be able to think that I should be able to do this action in my life. That you shouldn't even think for a moment that you should be able to do the action. You should have so much yaqeen that hellfire is in front of me. Hellfire. How can I do this action? How? So this is the life of a mu'min, and this is the difference between those who believe and don't believe. This is the difference. Sometimes those who don't have belief, they put a question, what's the difference between us and you? You say you have iman, you're a Muslim, but you're doing the same as us. That this drink that I'm taking down, you're doing the same. You're drinking the zina I'm doing, you're doing the zina haram I'm doing, you're doing haram, and you have a girlfriend, I have a girlfriend, and we're the same. So what iman are you talking about that you have? So what's the difference between me and you? The sinful person asks. So there's one difference that there should be, that if you had yaqeen, and I don't have yaqeen, this is what I should be able to see. And that's when you can say that there's a difference because of your iman, because of your belief. That's when we can say that we understand the difference. So the action of fasting, Allah Ta'ala has kept all of the rewards in the action of fasting. It's based on, hinged on one factor that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. That at that time when a person fasts, his emotions, his iman, his belief reaches to the heights. If you see hundreds of thousands in front of you that in the morning when you've kept the fast, and until the evening the person strives and tries that the fast I'm keeping, all of the principles of the fast I must observe. Not just that Allah Ta'ala said in fasting, Ramadan, don't lie or speak honestly or pray Salah during Ramadan and don't pray Salah after fasting, or after you break the fast, while you're fasting, as Allah said that don't do bad actions, but afterwards once you break the fast or after Ramadan you can go towards the sins. No, Allah Ta'ala said that during the fast for some hours you have followed Allah Ta'ala's orders, principles, you've got yaqeen in Allah, that Allah will be displeased with me if I do bad, then you need to continue this for the rest of your life. This principle needs to continue, this lesson needs to continue. So this is the sabak, the lesson for the rest of the life for insan. That such a yaqeen a person should have. Just like today we wake up, we keep the fast, we can't drink water, we can't eat food, we can't have tea, we can't have the squash we want. What is halal is haram during the fasting hours. So this is such a big action we're doing. The wife is halal, but she is haram during the hours of fasting. Yes, and those things that are lawful, Allah Ta'ala has made haram. We cannot eat, we cannot spend time with a person the way we'd like to normally. Allah Ta'ala says it's unlawful. So when a person goes beyond the action of fasting, then those things that Allah Ta'ala prevented us doing, we can start to do again. So Allah Ta'ala says that we don't even have yaqeen that for those hours when we fast, that what we do, what we learn, we don't continue after, we run after our nafs and desires. So the fasting tells us, is my brothers, it teaches us that if you spend your life in the same way, that like 24 hours you've lived your life during the month of Ramadan like this, you have yaqeen that Allah is watching you. For example, you're not hiding and drinking water and I'll wipe my face and nobody will know. But Allah Ta'ala is watching, isn't it? So a person, he will tremble, but he won't take the glass of water in his hand. He will tremble, but he won't commit the sins. He says, no, I'm fasting, I cannot do this. Is this not the feeling that we have? Yes, we do this, don't we? We fast and we abstain from the sins and the wrong actions. So let's pray to Allah, Allah continue this yaqeen within us ongoing. So the fast tells us that, do you know? Do you want to see? Shall I give you examples that such people who had yaqeen and passed away? So the first example we need to see in Islam after coming about, bringing about Batman, who were that? Those people, the first generation were the Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fasting tells us, look at their lives, look at the events, and all of their actions were based and hinged upon yaqeen. Whatever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it's like they inscribed it onto a rock. It could not be taken away from their lives. After that, if you want to see the successful people who had the highest yaqeen, then we have the tabi'een, then the taba tabi'een, then the generations after that, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, Allah's pious servants. All their lives, they lived the life correctly. And this is the example. It shows us that the effect of yaqeen, the effect of certainty. All of these people who I've mentioned, the Sahaba, Tabi'in, 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 Awliyaullah, they all had yaqeen in their lives. So fasting tells us now that I've given you the taste of yaqeen, and it's a beautiful taste, isn't it? How great a feeling that we've all become elevated, that the angels are proud of us, not due to our hunger and our thirst, but due to our yaqeen, that today this servant of Allah has strengthened his yaqeen with Allah. Until yesterday he was different. He was a munkar, he rejected. And even despite having iman, he said, La ilaha illallah, but he didn't practice his iman. He wasn't close to Allah. Today, he has got yaqeen that I have a mawla, a lord, a creator. So the angels are proud of the fasting person. Allah is praising the fasting person. The doors to paradise are open. The hoors are waiting. And they are announcing and calling out. And the decisions for life are being made. And Jannah has been opened for that person. Why? Because so many days the fasting person has implemented yaqeen. So now all we have to do is that after 30 days of demonstrating yaqeen during the fast and observing Allah Ta'ala's orders and leaving the wrong things. So we are now in that list of people who are elevated. But then after going to the heights, a person can slip, can't he? And come right back down to the floor. So if Allah Ta'ala elevates us in 30 days, and after 30 days finish, when Ramadan passes and says goodbye to us, then what do? Then we won't be fasting, then will we? So we at the moment, due to fasting, we've got yaqeen. Yaqeen has given us the assistance, but fasting is still there. So we got yaqeen. But when fasting leaves us, Ramadan leaves us, then if we don't have the assistance, the shelter of fasting, then we could slip and fall down. So when the friendship goes, at the moment, fasting is our assistant, our shelter, our shadow. No, I've got to fast. I can't sin. I can't do wrong. But when Ramadan says, I will go after 30 days, you'll be on your own again, isolated, then you'll slip. You'll fall down. Then if you fall down again after dropping, then what happens when a person drops? If somebody drops out of a window, nobody's going to stop. He's going to go straight right down to the ground. Right down to the ground. Depends how many layers of stories up. Let's say there's a story, 100-story building, and the person drops from the 100th floor. Then when he falls out of the window, where will he fall down? To the 99th floor? No, right down to the ground. When a person drops, then from the heights, where does the person drop to? Right down to the ground, ground zero. And today, all angels, they are proud of a person, and they are looking at the person with yaqeen, but may not happen that person slips from the heights, then where will he fall? Into Jahannam. Then will that person still have that yaqeen and that status and that level? Because the fasting month has gone by, has passed by. So the fasting month asks us that you've developed your yaqeen. Do you want to stay regular and steadfast after Ramadan, or do you want to slip and fall down, back down to the ground? Because when a person has a stick or a walking stick, he needs assistance. He needs that help and assistance. So he knows that, the person knows that the stick will look after me and it won't let me drop down. And if somebody takes the stick away, the staff away, then that person won't have the assistance and he'll fall down. There's a risk, isn't it? There's a hazard. Because, oh, I don't have assistance, or I'm old, I can't walk without the stick, I need the assistance, I'll drop. So when Ramadan says that I have not even passed by yet, and you will then slip down and fall down, and when you slip and fall down, then you will go down, you will fall to the ground. Oh foolish man, where was your name written? Rehan, the doors have opened and Rehan's waiting for you. You will pass through the door of paradise. And after 30 days, do you want to drop back down to the ground? Astaghfirullah, how big an injustice this will be against your own self. We say that Ramadan, Allah has been merciful to us. Ramadan Kareem has come. Allah has given us Ramadan, the month of mercy. Why is Allah Ta'ala given us His mercy? Because He's given us yaqeen and He's elevated us. He's made us the people of paradise. What else does Ramadan mean? What other praise can we give to Ramadan? This is the reason that Allah Ta'ala, you've given us Ramadan. And this is the biggest mercy you give to us, that you've made us human beings full of yaqeen, and we are mu'mins and believers. That now we are not committing sins, we're not doing bad actions, and we're praying salah, and we're leaving the sins, and we're not going to anybody, just like you told us to refrain from this, and everything has become strange to us due to the fadl of Allah, Allah's grace. Ramadan has come, and it's made us listen to Allah and understand all of the advices that Allah gives. So Ramadan makes a person a true human being. And then after Ramadan, a person goes into reverse gears and drops and becomes a sinner again and falls back down to the ground again. Then he waits another year for Ramadan to come again. And maybe we will have fallen through the door of hellfire already and our bones are broken. Is anything left of ours? No. So let's do one action. If you understand the meaning of what I'm saying today, that I'm trying to explain to you, I'm not giving a speech. It's a very important message that I'm delivering to you, that I'm sharing with you. This is a very big message of the Akhirah. And I'm telling you the truth here today. The correct points here. Those individuals, men and women who are listening to me, I put my hands together and beg and request to understand what I'm saying clearly and in depth, that Allah Ta'ala today has forgiven us. Allah Ta'ala has removed all our sins today. Subhanallah, we have today reached to the banks of paradise. We have done tawbah, we have repented. But tomorrow when Ramadan will pass by, then will I want my name to be written on the list of the people of hellfire? No. What I need to try my utmost after Ramadan finishes, that what I am today, I keep steadfast and consistent. I don't need a stick. I can walk with my feet, my legs. And every ill person, once that he becomes independent, doesn't need the walking stick anymore and just walks with his legs and feet. So let's today pay attention to this disease that happens after Ramadan, that we don't want to fall down. We don't want to stumble. Okay, Ramadan has passed by. The Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me. He's given me the heights. He gave me the ni'mah, the rewards. If Ramadan didn't come, I was falling. I was dropping. I was lost. I speak about my halat, my condition before Ramadan. Sin and pride and envy and takabbur and fraud and deceit and cheating and lying and showing off to people. Showing to people what time when I'm not. So Allah's karam, He's delivered me to Ramadan and He's forgiven me. His karam, His mercy, His rahmah. He's given heights, made us like His wali, and give us big rewards, and the du'as have been accepted. Has this not happened? Tell me. So now, do we want to continue this drama that after Ramadan we say, oh, that's it, the end of drama, now we're free, let's go back towards the sins. That 99%, this is what happens in the ummah, isn't it? Ramadan passes. After Ramadan, if you ask somebody, how are you? This will be common, regular. Oh, I didn't realize Ramadan came and went so quickly. What do we do now? It's like a test, the person in exam, he doesn't know why he's kept a fast. They don't understand, oh, it's gone so quick. In other words, what does it mean? Oh, it was just about eating and drinking. I didn't know hunger and thirst, it went so quick. I didn't even realize it was so easy. This is what we talk about fast. How's your fast going today? Isn't Hajj Sahab? This is what people say. Oh, the fasting day went so fast. What's the philosophy with regards to fasting? Oh, it's gone so quickly. I had a bit of pain due to not eating and drinking. It's passed so quickly and I was sleeping and it just passed by 4 or 5 hours. I passed by and now Ramadan's finished and we can eat and drink. And my brothers, what message has Ramadan given? How did we increase our yaqeen, certainty? Let's ask ourselves, it's made our lives, our hereafter. This is the message of Ramadan. This is the message and the crux of it, that today during Ramadan you're standing on the back of banks of paradise. If you are a human being and you have a little bit of humanity within you and you have a bit of aql and intellect and wisdom, then don't you know how much life you have left? It is temporary. Don't fall down after Ramadan. Keep yourself on the same level or increase it. Will we do this? Inshallah. How can we stay steadfast on the same level of iman after Ramadan? Question. Ramadan says, now I ask you questions. I've explained to you why I've come. Now I ask you questions. How do we stay on the high level of iman and yaqeen when Ramadan finishes? Who will tell us? Who will teach us? Who? Yaqeen. That's it. Yaqeen will give us the high level. So mashallah, at least you're listening, you're not sleeping. So yaqeen will give us the heights of iman and success. So Ramadan came today, in the month of Ramadan, and can it happen that if the walking stick is taken away from me, will I stand and be supported, self-sufficient? So today we have yaqeen. Why have we got yaqeen today? Due to the month of fasting. May Allah Ta'ala give barakah to the month of fasting. So fasting has come. We are fasting in the month of Ramadan. And due to this month of Ramadan, the great gift that Ramadan has given to us is yaqeen, certainty, extreme belief in Allah. So when Ramadan goes after the 30th day, I have to ask myself a question, that will my yaqeen remain intact? Because if my yaqeen disappears after Ramadan, I will slip and I'll fall into hellfire. Clear point, clear point. But if yaqeen stays and remains intact, then it won't let me sin. But if my yaqeen goes, then haram, then sins, then action, X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D. So if I maintain my yaqeen, or if I want to maintain, do you want to maintain your yaqeen? Put your hands up if you want to maintain your yaqeen. Put your hands up. Yes. So if I want to maintain my yaqeen and certainty in Allah, and I want to remain intact and strong, then I will tell you the solution that the Sahaba had yaqeen, that the Tabi'een, the next generation yaqeen, and all of the pious people, the Taba Tabi'een, the next generation yaqeen. And due to the same yaqeen, a person becomes a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. Even today, they protect their yaqeen. They want to maintain the yaqeen. What other method is there? No other method. This is the method. So, to utilize this method, fasting, it will finish. Ramadan will finish. So we need to use this method. And if we maintain this method with an honest heart, that I want to maintain my yaqeen, I have no other objective. I learnt yaqeen in Ramadan. I earned yaqeen in Ramadan. I increased my iman to such a height in Ramadan that my yaqeen went to the highest level. And I want to maintain that. And I keep steadfast after Ramadan. Then inshallah, may Allah give us the next Ramadan. And even if we pass away before the next Ramadan, but today the level we have earned in Ramadan, and inshallah we will pass away with a higher level. With a greater yakin. Now we've got this level at the moment of iman, we feel strong, we feel good, we're practicing because Ramadan is assisting us. Fasting is assisting us. But we can go higher than this. Why? Because after Ramadan, without the assistance of the fast, we maintained our yaqeen and we'll get a higher reward. So alhamdulillah, we have to do one action that can maintain our yaqeen beyond Ramadan. Aha, so now we've learnt today the lesson. The greatest factor of Ramadan is yaqeen. The greatest factor in the lives of the sahaba is yaqeen. How do we maintain yaqeen after Ramadan? We have to understand and appoint it. So let's ask the sahaba. Let's ask Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Oh Umar ibn al-Khattab, oh son of Khattab, you couldn't even herd the camels. You couldn't even ride a camel. Your father used to tell you off and beat you. And you were that person who went with the sword and said, I'm going to wipe away Islam. So how comes today you are a different human being? Umar ibn al-Khattab, where did you get the energy and the power? You could sit on the minbar and then the river Nile would stop flooding its banks due to your letter that was thrown into it. Where did you get the strength that you take your blanket and that fire that was coming towards Medina would go back and retreat? That how did this happen to you that the camels, you could not hurt them? But as soon as you moved on the ground and you struck your staff on the ground, the trembling earth would stop. How did these qualities come into your life? How did this occur? What made you change? You became Al-Faruq, the differentiator. That we call him Faruqi, isn't it? So how did you become Al-Faruq? How Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu? What is the meaning of Faruq? The differentiator, the one who differentiated between Haqq and Batil, between truth and falsehood, and the offspring of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. All they did the same. Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fathani, rahmatullahi, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmed Faruqi Sarandi. What did he do? When Kufr had come into Hindustan, Indian subcontinent, 1,000 years after the Prophet Muhammad s.a.w., he was the descendant of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Shaykh Ahmed Faruqi Sarandi, and he was prepared by Allah Ta'ala for the deen, because when from the family of Hazrat Umar comes a person, a descendant who spreads the deen, he's like a storm. Allah Ta'ala gave him the quality that you are the offspring, you are the descendant of Umar Faruq radiallahu anhu, and you will continue to differentiate our descendants of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So we ask Hazrat Umar and he says, yes, you are right, that I was not capable before I came into Islam, and I was going to nauzubillah slay the Prophet of Allah. That was my intention, and I thought I was powerful, I was the strong and the Prophet, the friend of Abu Jahl. But one factor made me ajeeb. Within a second it elevated me, propelled me to the heights. What was that? The company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahabat. Sohbat the Rasulullah. 1 second of sohbat, one sight, one vision. He said, from Umar bin al-Khattab I became Umar Faruq, and my name was mentioned in the heavens, and my Prophet Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the heavens, and he asked the angels, whose palace is this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought this was his palace. It was so beautiful and great a palace, a mansion. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let's go in. And Jibreel sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stop, where are you going? He said, this is my palace, isn't it? It looks like. He said, no, this is the palace of your assistant Faruq, Umar Faruq. And Rasulullah s.a.w. stopped there. What an answer. And then Rasulullah s.a.w. said, I don't want to go in because I feel modest. Modesty and shame that I go into the palace, the home of Umar Faruq. And he didn't go into his house. The same Umar radiallahu anhu. He became Umar al-Faruq. And what made him this? What factor? Sahabate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tabi'in now, the next generation. So why were they called the tabi'in? They said, we had no quality, but we saw that person, the sahabi, we saw the companion, a companion who saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We saw the companions with eyes and we became tabi'in, high grade people. The taba tabi'in, the next generation. Oh taba tabi'in, how did you become taba tabi'in? The next generation, the third generation, was it tahajjud you prayed or nafal or voluntary actions? How did this yaqeen come into your life? Umar al-Faruq radiallahu anhu, where did your yakin come from? Oh sahaba, oh tabi'in, oh taba tabi'in, where did your yakin come from? So Hazrat Umar Faruq, when his iman was elevated, he sat in one sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the effect was on his yakin. His yakin was propelled to the heights. So this continued, this action continues to today, that anyone who goes into the company of a wali of Allah, his yakin propels to the extreme maximum height. And the Quran Allah says, "Kunu ma'as sadiqin." There's no other ibadah. If we want to maintain our yakin, listen to this lesson of Ramadan today. There's only one action. Select the greatest action. First of all, select, look for that person, that individual. Look for the teacher. First year, just like the sahaba, look for the Prophet. Like the tabi'in, look for the sahaba. Like the tabi'in, look for the tabi'in. Look for the tabi'in. So when you find that teacher, the same adab, the same principles and conditions that the sahaba fulfilled with their relationship with the Prophet Muhammad, the way they sat with the Prophet, the way they looked at him, spoke to him, had adab and manners, and the adab and the principles in which they had that relationship with the Prophet, and the same principles and tenets and conditions that the tabi'in then fulfilled with the sahaba. And the tabi'een fulfilled with the tabi'een, and then the walis of Allah over the last 14 centuries have implemented with their teachers, then we need to today implement the same principles and manners and adab with our teachers. What will we attain? What lesson is given to us? What do we get? This is not to do with dhikr. Your yaqeen will not elevate, improve due to dhikr or due to doing more dhikr. Wahid, if your yaqeen will increase, it will increase due to the company of the wali of Allah, the sheikh, the teacher. Who is telling us this? The fast is teaching us this. The fast. So if we want to maintain our yaqeen after Ramadan, fasting is telling us, I will say goodbye to you. Today is the fifth fast, isn't it? 25 left, isn't it? 25. So 1/6 of Ramadan is gone. And after 1/6 of Ramadan, today we are getting this message. Maybe that today we think that we are getting the rewards due to hunger, thirst. I will break the fast with dates and I'll get rewards. I didn't eat in the morning, I'll eat in the evening. Fasting is telling us today, you're not getting rewards due to hunger and thirst. It's due to your yaqeen. And if you want to maintain your yaqeen after Ramadan, then there's only one tariqah, one method. I will tell you this. Go find a wali of Allah. People think today that walis of Allah are a waste of time. They are jahil, illiterate, innovators. And someone says a drama, he's deceiving people. No. Today, fasting is telling us, today there's drought in the world. It's very hard today to find a true sheikh. If you find a true sheikh in the world today, you are the most fortunate person in the world. I tell you this clearly. In the world, if you want to see the most fortunate person in the world today, then it's that person who finds a wali Allah as a teacher. I swear by the Quran, with the fast, I'm sat on the prayer mat, I swear by the Quran, in the state of fasting, if you want to see the luckiest, most fortunate, happiest person in the world today, the Allah Ta'ala's greatest ni'mah is on that person today, who has a wali of Allah as a companion, as a friend, through this journey of life. He has got iman, he's got yaqeen, he's got his akhirah, he's got jannah, he's got paradise, he's got Quran. All of the factors of Islam he has earned. Allah is pleased with that person. He's got yaqeen due to the company of the wali of Allah. His yaqeen will not make him sin. His yaqeen will never let him commit fraud. His yaqeen will not let him go towards wrong. He won't let him do any action due to which Allah Ta'ala is displeased. And he will not go far from those actions that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. Even if he has to travel thousands of miles, he'll say, Allah is pleased with this. He will wake up all night. Muslim, Allah is happy with me, so how can I go to sleep? How? Ajeeb feeling all over him. So where Radha comes, happiness comes, so the insan will become like a storm. He'll sacrifice everything, his sleep and eating and drinking and wife. Why? Due to fasting. Allah Ta'ala is pleased with me. So even beyond Ramadan, he will be able to put all of his desires to the side and says, the question doesn't arise that I will displease Allah due to my nafs, due to my desires, due to wrong actions. No, I will elevate my yaqeen. So what is this called? Yaqeen. My brothers, sohbat of the sheikh. And what sort of yaqeen is this? What certainty is this? Aha, Imamul Anbiya, the Prophet Muhammad, the final prophet, the seal of the prophet, said that ask for dua from Allah. He's telling the sahaba that you should make dua, prayer, ask Allah. Allahu Akbar. Allahumma inni asaluka imanan kamila wa yaqeenan sadiqa. Oh Allah, give me the true belief, Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that include this into your du'as. In other words, it's lazim, essential that you need to develop true yaqeen, true belief. The true yaqeen, otherwise you'll be destroyed. Your iman will go. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us this. So this is the cure, my friends. There are two cures now we've got. One factor is du'a. Why do we have this du'a? Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan kamila wa yaqeenan sadiqa. That Allah give us the true belief. So what is this dua? What have we understood from this dua? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this dua will give us true belief. In reality, what are we asking for? We are asking Allah to introduce us to His wali. This is the dua we're asking. In reality, we're saying, Allah, give me the true belief, yaqeenan sadiqa. Allah, give me the companionship of your friend, of your wali, of a good person, a pious person. Give me his company. Give me his azmat. Give me his height, his shan, his taqaddus, his adab. The manners for him so I can attain faith from him so I don't lose out in this world. This is it. Because remember what I said, that the wali of Allah is the assistant that will give us yaqeen, the teachings of Quran, tafsir, and we will get all of the pillars of Islam from the company of the wali of Allah. Allah, take me to a true wali of yours, a friend. Yaqeen and sadiqa, deliver me and take me to the honest friend of yours. What a great meaning of this hadith. Look at this point. Mawlana, did you hear this tafsir of the Quran before? The meaning of the Quran? No, we say yaqeen and sadiqa, we speak about it in different ways. Where will yaqeen and sadiqa come from? Allah says, request that source from me, which is the company of my wali, my friend, who are here in the world. We need to find the friend of Allah, the wali of Allah. So now we've understood that we need to make dua to Allah, that Allah make me capable that I can respect and appreciate your friend, and then take me to the company of your friend in the world, so I can benefit in my iman. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if you find a friend of Allah in this world, then become dust in front of him. Consider yourself as a minor, insignificant from him, so you can benefit from the company of a sheikh. But do we do this? Even if we find a sheikh, we think that he's not worth a penny. Who listens to him? Who knows him? Who's aware of him? We just keep him at a distance. We're not interested. We don't look at this point here, that how important a company we have attained. Imagine that I've got the maqsad, the objective of my life, that I've learnt in the dua. The person who gets this, what is his hal? What is his condition? If you got the company of Allah, should you sin in front of that person, or criticize him, or have bad manners against him, or do bi'adabi against him, or disrespect him, or dishonor him? The wali of Allah, think about this. Only that person, na'uzubillah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Just like Hazrat Umar Farooq, the reason why he became Al-Farooq, and then we stand in front of the pious person and we criticize. If we don't have this aqidah in our sheikh, the person cannot take anything from his sheikh. Tell me. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So a person should have this feeling, tasawwur, if the sheikh says don't do this action, we carry out the action, tell me. He is the biggest munafiq liar. Allah Ta'ala says that I've accepted your dua, I've taken you to the wali of Allah, I've taken you to my friend, and after that, that you have seen no quality in your life that is the reflection of the company of the sheikh. You had that talab, the desire, you wanted to be saved from Jannah. Maybe you wanted to find the wali of Allah so that you could become famous and show to people and tell them, I am this murid, the student of this sheikh, he's a great sheikh, and I am pious for the sake of making money and getting other contacts or to get charity. Allah Ta'ala knows best what wretched intentions you had in your life. But if only you had this intention, that I want to be saved from hellfire, I want to earn paradise, Allah, I want your pleasure. And for this reason, I have reached to the fountain of your faith and blessings, Allah. That's why I've got the company of your sheikh. So your house would be different, your family would be different, your lifestyle would be different, it would be improved as a true Muslim. And this is a vast subject. This is not a subject that can stop. May Allah Ta'ala give us islah so that we can improve ourselves. Otherwise we are empty hollow boxes. Do you not consider yourself, myself, as an empty hollow box now? That's the khanka now. It exposes and bears the biggest of people, the so-called biggest of people, the biggest chaudhries. Because we are nothing. We are empty boxes. Nobody has nothing to his name. Just like I told you this event before, there were three sheikhs and great personalities. Hazrat Khairuddin, rahmatullah alayhi, who was the Khalifa Ajal of Hazrat Tanvi, rahmatullah alayhi. Hazrat Khairuddin, who had a big madrasa, Khairul Madaris in Multan. Big madrasa, 5,000 students at that time. He established it at the time of Hazrat Tanvi, rahmatullah, on the hukum of Hazrat Tanvi, rahmatullah alayhi. And I saw the effects, the offshoots of this madrasa and the murids of Hazrat Khairuddin. There are people from my contacts, my relatives, and I was amazed. Unique, excellent individual. I said, who was your sheikh? And they said to me that my sheikh was Hazrat Khairuddin, rahmatullah. These are the fountains of blessings and benefit. I saw his death. He was from my relatives and contacts. I was surprised that in this day and age, this is your life and your lifestyle and your words and your actions and your mannerism. I said, do you have a link with a sheikh, with a teacher? He said, yes, I do have a link. I said, with who? With which person? With your sheikh? They said, Hazrat Khairuddin Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. This was one sheikh. And then there was Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. Yes, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib, who was the author of the great kitab, the great tafsir, Ma'ariful Quran. So these two sheikhs, they were students of their sheikh, and they went to meet their sheikh, Hazrat Tanvi, rahmatullah. One was in one room and the other sheikh was in the room, and this was the khank of the sheikh. And who was the sheikh? Hazrat Tanvi Sahib, rahmatullah, Hazrat Ashraf Ali Tanvi Sahib, rahmatullah. And then in the night, Hazrat Khairuddin Sahib started to shriek and cry. So Hazrat Mufti Shafi got up and went to his room to Hazrat Khairuddin. He said, Khairuddin, why are you crying? He said, what can I say to you? I am not a good person. I'm crying for this reason. It was a night time. He said, when I sit down in front of my sheikh and all the other murids and students are there, then I consider myself at that time, I feel like an animal, like a cow. You know, like a cow, totally foolish, empty, worthless. And such a great sheikh, an alim, scholar is saying this. Imagine this. He's saying, why are you saying this? He said, my situation is the same. Subhanallah, they didn't have riyah and pride. He said, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib started to cry as well. He said, I'm the same. I was about to tell you the same thing, that I'm empty. I'm hollow. I have nothing to my name. I say I'm an alim, but I have nothing inside. So what should we do? They said, both of them. They said, let's go and see our sheikh.
That we've come for this reason to attain Islah, rectify ourselves, improve ourselves. There's no iman inside us. We feel empty. Hollow boxes. So both students go to the Sheikh, to Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. They're crying. The Sheikh Sahib said, why are you crying? They said, we want to present our problems to him. When they presented their bad feelings, then Hazrat started to cry. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib in the Khanka. And they said, Hazrat, why are you crying? He said that you are presenting your bad state to me. What can I say to you? That when I sit amongst you, all of my students, I consider myself the worst of all the animals. Allahu Akbar. Imagine their darajat, their status. So if a person does not have that feeling inside, that he exposes himself and bears himself and considers he's the worst, but if I keep on saying, I am the best, me, and I'm the best, then I'm nothing. That we tell people, I practice, I'm praying, I'm an alim, only a scholar can do this. Is this a point? Is this something to keep on speaking about and trying to mention to others, brothers, this path is different of pride and show, and the path to the akhirah is different. So for the path through the akhirah, we need a khanka, we need a waliwala, we need the special affection of the waliwala. Let's do dua to Allah, just like Rasulullah said, that Allah give us yaqeen and sadiqa. What is the meaning of this dua? Allah give us the true belief, give us the true shaykh in the world today. And if this dua is accepted by Allah, and you find a true shaykh, then you will become the true human being. The true human being. And then you'll become insan. And then if we sin after that, then there's so many punishments. The turban won't save me, nor will the bird save me, nor will the white clothes save me. Nothing will save me. Nothing. It's a severe punishment that you are the biggest fraudster. The biggest fraudster. Then a person should bow down, become fana in a sheikh. This is called fanaful sheikh. Immersed in the actions and the teachings of the sheikh. Then become like dust. Learn from the teacher. Whatever you have to give away and assign away, then that's fine, because you are learning from the sheikh. I remember a brother who came to me 30 years ago, and he was a millionaire. Millionaire at the time. He had millions in his bank accounts, and he had interest in the millions. And he was passing by, he came to me to the Khanqa, and he came, and we met, and Allah's fazl came on him, Allah's grace. He said, give me bayah. I said, there's only one condition, that haram, you have to leave. He said, I promise I will leave haram. He went back to his house, he went back to Pakistan, Karachi. All of the funds he had in the banks, he threw onto the ground. He had millions of rupees, he threw it away. Then he became poor with the fadl of Allah. Materially, he became poor, no money, no funds, but in the eyes of Allah, he was in the heights. And his life long, there's not a salah was missed, no salah was qaza. He didn't leave dhikr, he didn't leave Quran. From top to toe, his whole life was improved, transformed, better person. So because he fulfilled the haq of his sheikh, and he made this dua. He wanted the true belief. When he found the sheikh who gave him the teaching to attain true belief, then after that we sin. We continue to sin. What kind of deen is that? Then that person's 50-50. Half off. First I say, I want to drink water, I'm thirsty. Allah says, okay, I'll give you water. Allah delivers us to the banks of the well. Then I say, I don't want to drink water. Allah says, you are thirsty, desperate, dying for water, and you say you don't want to drink water now? That's the same thing. Allah Ta'ala says, so with so much difficulty, you reach to the banks of the well, and you're saying, water, water, and I gave you the water, and you're still standing there thirsty? Complaining there's no water. Allah says that you've wasted all your efforts. So don't become humans like this. Become thirsty, thirsty, and then drink the water. Quench your thirst. Take the company. And then the wali of Allah's company, it will give you, it will quench your thirst. May Allah give us all the tawfiq. Ameen.